Okay, well, welcome back to our second presentation for retirement and estate planning. And we're going to discuss a serious problem that we call the baby boom generation retirement time bomb. You see what's happened here. Between 1940 and 2010, the average lifespan increased by 15 years. While, as we saw in the previous presentation, the retirement age for Social Security increased only 2 years. In 1940, there were very few retirees per worker. Most workers, particularly men, simply didn't live to 65. Yeah, especially because everybody smoked cigarettes and ate a lot of meat and fat and sugar and salt. Now, not only do most workers reach retirement, their retirement lasts an average of 16 to 20 years. That sound like a test question? Each day for the next 10 plus years, 10,000 people will have their 65th birthday. Wow. Look at what's happened here, folks. In 1940, there were 30 workers for every one retiree. That was the 30 to 1 ratio. By 2010, it had gotten down to 3 workers for every one retiree, 3 to 1. And by 2050, it's going to go down to 1.5 to 1. What? That's impossible. How did we manage to go from 30 workers per retiree down to 3 workers per retiree without significant economic upheaval? Well, when you go back over the last 50, 60 years, it kind of makes sense. 2 worker families have become the norm. So, you know, daddy used to go to the office and fondle the waitress, and mommy would stay home and slap the kids and take Valium. That was the, you know, the golden age in 1950s, right? It's a joke, don't you? There's some truth to it. So we went from 30 to 1 down to 15 to 1 just by having 2 workers in the family. In fact, you know, women are thankfully doing a whole lot better. And guys, be good to the women because hopefully they're going to take over soon. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, we guys have been screwing things up for about 4,000 years now. Plus, productivity gains have been substantial. And quite simply, as the number of retirees grew, the number of children per worker diminished. The ratio of workers to dependents has stayed roughly the same. The only difference now is the dependents have shifted from muchos niños corren, you know, running around the house, to muchos abuelos y abuelitas. We've gone from a baby boom where there weren't that many old people and lots of young people, and now we have far fewer children per couple and lots of old people. You know, we're not called the baby boom generation for nothing, folks. It was your patriotic duty to have as many kids as you could to beat those Ruskies. If 4 or 5, 6 kids was just de rigueur. I mean, if you only had 1 or 2 children, especially 1 child, then there was something fishy about that couple. Probably communist sympathizers. Right. Slide number 26. Look, the problem is twofold. Baby boomers have not saved enough money for their retirement. And I heard this interview. I wish I would have saved the link to it. Because every time I say what this guy said, it sounds like I'm songing it. But he said it very matter of fact. Look, unless a big bucket of cash falls out of the sky, I'm going to be working until I die. And I know I have a hard time saying it as flatly as he did, because he was dead serious. And that's a lot of people's, you know, plan for retirement. They did not plan for retirement. And they believe they're going to have to keep working until they die. The problem with that is your health. That's the wild card. You don't know what's going to happen. there will not be enough workers to service the economy, resulting in labor shortages. Does this sound familiar? This is exactly what's happening. What did we used to do, the United States, in the past? We'd welcome more immigrants. How's that going on? Well, politically very unpopular now. So not only have boomers not saved enough, but there's not enough workers now, let alone to provide the health care and other services that the retirees will demand. And remember from Chapter 9, health care, health care, health care. The average person between ages 60 and 70 uses more medical resources than they did between ages 0 and 59. One-third of all Medicare dollars are spent just keeping someone alive a few months. Again, we said Social Security is not going bankrupt. It's not. Medicare's gone bankrupt, and this is part of the problem. So, as we said back in Chapter 9, this is an issue that your younger generations are going to have to deal with, because it's going to hit us in the face. We're out of all, a lot of us old folks here. So, what are some of the possible solutions? Aggressive saving by boomers and Gen Xers, right? Everyone over 50 should be socking away the new maximum limits into their 401ks, their IRAs. But unfortunately, this isn't happening. How about raising the Social Security taxes? Well, in 2022, the first $140,000 you earned was taxed for Social Security. But above that, you don't get taxed for Social Security. So when the, this was, you know, several years ago, but when the Bush administration said, we have to deal with Social Security, people said, well, the first thing you should do is lift the cap for the rich people. And he didn't like that because he considered the rich people his base. Older people have traditionally more sway with politicians, and I'm surprised that the politicians are not doing more because older people vote. Sadly, well, the last few times, Obama seemed to have really energized the youth to vote, which was cool, but they only voted for him, right? They only voted in 2008-12, and then they came out in 2020 to vote against Trump. But so we'll see if that continues. It's a recipe for intergenerational warfare, right? If nothing else changes, to go from 3 down to workers down to 1.5 workers per retiree, we'd have to essentially double from a little under 8% to a little under 16%. I don't think people are going to be too happy about that. What do you think? How about lowering the Social Security benefits? Whoa. There was just a big kerfuffle over that between the president and the Republicans in Congress. Again, seniors have traditionally more sway with politicians. It's yet another recipe for intergenerational warfare. The Bush administration's proposal back in 2005 would have reduced benefits by up to 49% for many workers over the next several decades. And it would have hit the middle class the hardest. Surprise. You don't hear too much about this. Well, you did, but it seems the debate is over for now. How about investing Social Security in the stock market? You hear this every once in a while the market's doing well. You don't hear about it when the market's doing poorly. The only problem is if you do this, and you remember, I'm a stock kind of guy, all right? But if you do this, you have to continue to pay the folks who are already vested. So it would be extremely expensive. And if you give people the option, like a 401k, to choose their investments, they could do really, really poorly. So there's, but they could do really, really well too. It's the same. It's the same issue with the 401k, the 403b. It could be very good for certain people. It could be a disaster for others. However, financial solutions alone won't work. And why is that? Because an economy consists of both supply and demand. Let's assume that boomers saved enough for their retirement. In other words, there is plenty of demand. If there are not enough goods and services to service the demand, in other words, there is insufficient supply, the result will be large-scale inflation of goods and services or large-scale deflation of financial assets or both. Huh? What are you talking about, Payano? Just wait. If I save more than everyone else, I'm one person, then I can retire without a problem. There's going to be enough goods and services to supply my needs. But if everyone saves more, then everyone will want the same goods and services. Everyone will be bidding up the prices of healthcare, leisure, retirement, housing. Or everyone will have to accept lower prices for our saved financial assets, since everyone will be trying to sell them at the same time to pay for the same goods and services. Both actions will occur somewhat, and what has happened to prop up the financial assets, stocks, bonds, and the like, is that the younger generations, the millennials and now what they call Gen Z, are very, unlike any other generations before them, they're very savvy about investments. So they've been starting to save much sooner than our generation and the Gen Xers. So well done. But this is still an issue. We don't have enough supply. We're going to have plenty of demand. Where is the supply going to come from? Well, let's try some economic solutions. How about increased productivity? Well, that's always a good thing. It's always a good thing to invest and increase your productivity. But it's the same problem as increasing taxes. You got to share it with not only the boomers, but the folks come behind them, the Gen Xers, the millennials, and the Gen Z. It will help the economy substantially, but not necessarily the goods and services that retirees need, such as healthcare. Although some of the technologies coming down the pike, I mean, think about it, folks. You could have your doctor in India, telehealth, as we talked about, or maybe a robot someday will do the. Sorry, I don't know about that. How about increasing developing world trade? Because that is the next engine of world economic growth, in my humble opinion. What are we talking about? We already mentioned, South America, Mexico, South Africa, Africa, the continent as a whole, India, the Philippines, Eastern Europe, China, Russia. Well, the problem is that retirement goods and services are not easily traded across the globe. Golf memberships, assisted care housing, healthcare. Remember the surgery vacations? Would you be willing to, I'll give you $5,000 to go to the Philippines and have your gallbladder removed? I don't know. Reallocation of the workforce. As we said back in Chapter 9, 1/5 of the economy soon will be healthcare. And you got to admit, it's the best healthcare system in the world. It's the worst healthcare system in the world if you can't afford it, don't have insurance. Doesn't help you, does it? Amazing. How about demographic solutions? Because it's demography that's getting us into this problem with all the baby boomers. Demography is the study of populations. Increased immigration. Oh, that's going to be real popular, right? Have you ever visited a nursing home or an assisted living facility? It's amazing how many folks from overseas work in these facilities. But to maintain the same ratio of workers to retirees, we would need approximately 85 million immigrants by 2050. I don't know if that's going to happen. How about getting rid of the retirees? Emigration. Costa Rica, anyone? But again, the numbers are mind-numbing. To keep the ratio to 3-1, we'd have to get rid of 120,000 retirees each month for the next 30 years. The two scenarios above will help somewhat, but not significantly. So how are we going to do this? How are we doing it? Folks, we're going to raise the retirement age. To maintain the current ratio of workers to retirees, we would need to raise the accepted retirement age to 72 or 73 by the year 2030. How popular is that going to be? Folks, it's already happening. It's already happening. If it's not mandated, because remember, we're living far longer, but Social Security's only gone up 2 years. Retirement will simply become unaffordable or unavailable to more and more workers. And it's already happening. Retirees are returning to the workforce. We used to retire at 62 and die at 64. Now we retire at 62 and go back to work at 64 because we're bored. We got an opportunity. Maybe the fastest growing segment of the population that is starting new businesses are people in their 60s, if you can believe that. Well, I can. Their health is good. They want to be productive. I have a good friend. He's finally retired. He still dabbles, but he retired about 3 or 4 times because he got bored. And he's very, very powerful electrical engineer. And he would go to another place and they'd start loading him up on work because he's so productive, so resourceful. And he's a bit of a electrical genius. Builds his own fancy clocks and everything. And he just, because he was bored. Now he fixes washing machines and does other things just to keep himself busy. Another good friend of mine who was counting the days when she could retire. She, powerful, emergency room nurse. These people deal with a lot of stress. And it wasn't that she didn't enjoy her job. She loved her job. She didn't like her boss. Made her life miserable. And I said to her, you watch. 6 months, a year at the most, you're going to get a phone call with an offer. And it's going to be good money, first of all. Far less stress. You just do your job. You don't have to deal with any political crap. You just come in when they need help. You're part-time. And you're going to say yes. And she said, you're crazy. I don't ever want to go back there again. And sure enough, it's 6 months to the day. She said, it was about 6 months to the day. They called her up. Made her an offer that she thought, okay, I can do this. Yeah, I can do this. So I'm an example. I'm semi-retired. I still teach a couple classes. I don't have to deal with any committee work. I don't have to do program review. You don't know what I'm talking about. Don't worry about it. You don't want to know. I don't deal with the curriculum instruction committee, which is like going to the dentist without Novocaine. So businesses are also going to accommodate these workers. Fewer hours, more flexible schedules. It's happening whether or not we mandate it. You're now hearing politicians say that we need to raise the retirement age. Look, a few years ago, that politician would have been lynched if they had said, we need to raise the retirement age. So, the baby boom generational retirement time bomb, we are solving this problem. We've faced serious problems before. The American economy is extremely resilient. The American people are extremely resourceful. A combination of some or all the previous possible solutions will be implemented with or without formal planning and consensus. Although we Americans are very resilient and resourceful, we tend to be horrible at planning. We wait until there is a crisis, and then we usually, in the past, have shined. We will indeed be living in interesting times. Are you familiar with the alleged ancient Chinese curse? Actually, I read that it's not a Chinese curse. I don't know where it came from, but it's a great curse. May you live in interesting times. It's not from China. I don't know where it came from, but people think it's from China. But in other words, the Chinese, they value stability, right? And many people do. And interesting times for some people are, hey, that's what I want. I like dynamism and change and everything. But it's not without its problems. So, the bottom line, the nature of retirement will change. expect on living much longer than you ever thought you would. Yippee! Hooray! Expect on working much longer than you ever thought you would. Boo! And start saving now. Mumble, grumble, bitch, gripe. You know, I'm living it, right? I'm living it. I don't want to stop teaching. I am still teaching one or two. I mean, Southwestern could stop because I'm part-time now. They don't have to offer me a class if they don't want to. But there's other places I could teach, especially online, because you can be pretty much anywhere. And I had the opportunity to do something I always wanted to do, and that was write the Introduction to Investment textbook, which is free to read, folks. It's free to read. And also put together the textbook for your class, which I'm sure all of you read. Just it's a old textbook that was put out, not in the public domain, but it's open educational resources. And my book's not in the public domain either. I still have the rights to it, but we allow people to use it, to read it for free, and they can also augment it. Very interesting. It's called Open Educational Resources. So what do you think, folks? Brave new world? We're dealing with it. Okay. Now, we're ready to deal with the final chapter of life, and that is estate planning. Isn't it? It's a lot nicer than saying death planning, isn't it? See you in our final presentation of our final chapter about the final chapter of life.